For decades now, black leaders like W.E.B. Du Bois and Booker T. Washington took the national stage. And since that time, African-American politicians have wrestled with how the black community should gain and then wield political power. It's a struggle between coalition politics and identity politics. It's a conflict perhaps best represented by Malcolm X and Martin Luther King Jr. Malcolm X insisted on separatism. That's something he explained in his 1964 speech, The Ballot or the Bullet, that he delivered just as Congress was debating the Civil Rights Act.
The Democrats have been in Washington, D.C. only because of the Negro vote. They've been down there 4 years, and all other legislation they wanted to bring up, they brought it up and gotten it out of the way, and now they bring up you. And now they bring up you. You put them first, and they put you last.
On the other hand, until the last years of his life, Martin Luther King Jr. preached coalition politics and personal uplift.
The marvelous new militancy, which has engulfed the Negro community, must not lead us to a distrust of all white people. For many of our white brothers, as evidenced by their presence here today, they have come to realize that their freedom is inextricably bound to our freedom. We cannot walk alone.
In his new book, The Price of the Ticket, our next guest argues President Obama sounds a little more like Martin than Malcolm, a fact he believes ends up hurting the black community, especially in politics. So Frederick Harris joins us now to explain, author and professor of political science at Columbia University. Nice to see you.
Nice to be here.
Let's talk a little bit about the difference between a coalition politician and, I guess you would say, separatist, although that's not exactly correct.
No, that's not correct. What I mean and what Malcolm said at that point, because he was changing his viewpoint about politics, and it was really about building coalitions within black communities targeted around permanent interests, a community-driven politics where issues matter most as it relates to important issues directly aimed at challenging racial inequality.
One of the complaints you have about President Obama is that he hasn't pushed for issues that would help the African-American community. What are issues, and that he's instead kind of focused on things that would help all Americans. So explain to me what issues would help only African-Americans and not all Americans.
Well, that's actually not the main argument. The president hasn't looked at issues directly aimed at challenging racial inequality, and that involves issues involving communities of color. And what I really want to go back to actually is the speech that the president gave in September 2007 at Howard University, where he laid out in a very precise, in a bold way, a criminal justice reform measures that will tackle racial discrimination within a criminal justice system. And for instance, he talked about the need, and as president, he would push a federal level racial profiling law, right? And so it just wouldn't help African Americans. Latinos are also swept up or affected by issues like profiling, racial profiling, as well as Muslim Americans. And so when we look at these issues between community-driven issues and universal issues, it's just not helping African Americans. It's also helping communities of color who are also still affected by racial discrimination.
We're speaking with Frederick Harris, a professor of political science at Columbia University. His new book is called The Price of the Ticket. You know, I read a long op-ed that you wrote. I don't know, did you write the title, Still Waiting for Our First Black President?
No, I didn't write that title. I've gotten a lot of heat for that title, too.
Yeah.
because the discussion is really about policy and political strategy. And there should be, I think, a discussion on the table about what is the best political strategy to put these issues around racial inequality on the political agenda.
Well, I mean, part of your, it seems that having, you know, read what you've written, part of your issue is that President Obama, in some of his speeches, sounds, especially when he's addressing the African-American community, sounds like someone who's really going to fight for black issues or minority issues. Mm-hmm. And then he gets to Washington and he becomes a rising tide floats all boats kind
right.
of politician. But that second phrase really sums up the kind of minority person who can attain high office. I mean, otherwise, wouldn't he have to kind of pretend to be a coalition politician and then get to Washington and change?
Right, right. I mean, we're looking at, you know, the benefits of minority office holders who become governors, who become, in this case, president. But again, I think the issue is really on the idea of permanent interests and what those interests are, no matter who's in the White House. And so, yes, I mean, I think it's a great symbolic moment for there to be an African-American president. But what happens when the issues that are important to the community that are not addressed once the president gets in office? And even when he campaigned on these issues that would be targeted to communities. But once he gets in, he doesn't follow through.
So the criminal justice is the only issue, or are there other issues
He
feels?
There are other issues, too, particularly around high levels of minority, in particular, in the case of my argument, black unemployment. There are opportunities that were lost, I would argue, in the first 2 years of his administration where there wasn't a job bill. And in fact, some members of Congress advocated what some policymakers have described as targeted universalism. That is, target publicly financed job projects in communities with high levels of poverty and high levels of unemployment. And this, I would argue, is right within the context of programs that are targeted to the communities most in need.
He does have to get that through Congress, though, Frederick. You realize that, right?
Yeah, I said the first 2 years. There was a democratically controlled Congress in the first 2 years.
So now, I mean, we both know that that's pretty much impossible.
Yeah. I understand that.
So, okay, let's say, for example, that you became President Obama's advisor if he won a second term.
Mm-hmm.
Your first advice to him would be?
Well, my first advice would be to him because looking, and by the way, I hope the president wins, because in my personal view, I think it'll be disastrous when we look in terms of what the permanent interests are for African Americans. My advice with him to be, because unfortunately, even if he gets in, I think there'd be a Republican-controlled House, and so there would be limitations in what he can do. So perhaps there can be some executive orders around issues that are dealing with the criminal justice issues. On terms of unemployment, I don't think anything can happen with a Republican-controlled House.
But this kind of, I mean, President Obama really represents really the issue for any minority politician, that in order to get elected, you have to get a coalition of voters. You have to get the votes of all Americans.
Right.
And when you get there, you have to be very careful in balancing out whether or not you seem prejudicial towards your own racial group.
Well, I mean, yes, that's the case. But this is, but even, and it's my issue is with President Obama not coming through with the promises he made, but also in that article in the Washington Post and also in the book, what I say is that part of the problem in getting your issues on the agenda is that you have to press. You have to press for those issues. So the question is what black voters are and what civil rights activists are demanding publicly of the president, right? And so it has to be a part of the agenda. There are some wins, there are some losses, but a silence around issues of racial inequality, in my view, is unacceptable.
Has President Obama's tenure in the White House made it easier or harder for black politicians moving forward to help the African-American community?
I think in many ways it's become harder because there's this sort of rock in a hard place position where, in a sense, that because he's African American and because he's being demonized by the right and he can't address these issues, it's very difficult to raise these issues on a national level. And not saying that I think there shouldn't be minorities in higher office, I think that there still needs to be pressure placed on whoever is in office, because I think symbolism should take a back seat to permanent interests that are important to black communities.
The symbolism of having a black president,
right,
as opposed to a president of any color who's actually pushing forward the agendas that would help the communities.
Exactly.
Frederick Harris is author of The Price of the Ticket. He's also professor of political science at Columbia University. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for inviting me.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.